You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning and welcome. Glad you are here. It is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie will rejoin us next week after a restful vacation. Frank, our executive producer, and Parker, our technical producer, are here with me. As always, good to see you boys. And if you want to get involved, especially now because Frank has another beef. This week, Frank has been unleashed and likes to get his grievances aired. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Morning, boys. How are we today? Okay,
doing
well. Thanks. Let's move on.
I just answered.
All right, everybody's doing fine.
Give me a slight delay. We're all great.
Yeah, good. I am coming off a day. I'm not going to get into all the details because it's very early in the morning. Let's just say I had an invasive medical test yesterday that left me feeling violated and made me very much more sympathetic to ladies and stirrups. So we'll leave it at that. But I am here and I am ready to go. But yesterday, and I don't know why this came up, but Frank, you brought something up and it seemed got you a little revved up.
So I had a new coffee mug yesterday. We were talking about
You did, right?
It's very fancy.
You might have heard us in between breaks if you're on the live stream. And Brian said, "Wow, Frank, that's a fancy coffee mug you got there." And I said, "Well, Brian, thanks for noticing. We just went to my parents' house, and we got the rest of our, would you call it china?
Yes.
Our tableware? I don't know.
Yes, china. That looked like china to me. That was not a, you know, Kmart coffee mug.
It was from Crate and Barrel. It's nice.
Okay, it's very nice. Yes, your table,
Here's the deal. When you go and get married and you put stuff on your wedding registry, everything comes in like sets of eight.
Yes.
So I don't need 90% of that as I'm in my 20s living in an apartment.
This is fair.
You're not having giant dinner parties?
I'm not having
where you're having three course and then coffee.
You're not
service?
Having giant dinner parties. So there's like two or three boxes of stuff in my parents' basement for years, going on 4 years now, of stuff that I just don't need right now. And as I'm going through it this past weekend, I'm like, what is this? As my wife's next to me, she goes, "Oh, don't you remember? So-and-so got that for us." I was like, "No, this is ours."
mine.
Some stuff I was like, why is this even down here? Why don't we have it in our place? And then some stuff, as I'm pulling out plate after plate after plate, I'm like, why the hell do we need all this?
Well, obviously you're going to have the whole show over for dinner. So
which
now
I
you,
will.
Now you
because
have enough,
I like you guys. You but most people I want out of my house.
No, I don't blame you. Yeah. It's amazing. Now, how long have you been married?
3 years. Going
Three
on
years.
Four.
All right. Very recent. Registries have changed so much. Saturday, I will have been married 34 years, which is amazing because the old joke is I could have killed her and been out of jail by now. But 34 years ago, when you registered for, and it's always been that way, you go and if you're not clear on what that is, when a couple's getting married, they go around to certain stores and they make a list of things that they would like because people are always like, oh, what do you want for a gift? Well, here's a list, and it makes it easy. And there's usually a wide range of prices because some people maybe want to go. A lot of times people will go in with other couples or other family members, and they'll get something a little bigger and all of that. But when I registered, my wife and I, it was a lot of china and crystal. So we have a 12-piece We have service for 12 in Waterford Crystal in three different size glasses.
Plus 12?
Many. Yes,
that's
Frank, you had to have
people.
12. Gentlemen,
do you, here, let me ask you
we
this
had,
question.
Because you always thought you were going to have a big dining room, which we did for a while, and we used it, I don't know, a couple times.
I was going to ask you, do you even own a table to seat 12?
Not anymore. No, not anymore. At one point we did. And what, like I said, I think we used it twice for a big giant holiday dinner. No, now we're lucky to, you know, we do occasionally bring out, like, here's the Waterford we use so far. On, we have a couple rocks glasses that we use, a couple Irish coffee glasses, and some whiskey sniffers or whiskey taster glasses that we use on the reg. Everything else is in boxes downstairs. We have a 12-piece place setting of beautiful Noritake china that we, I don't think, have ever used, or maybe we've used once or twice in 34 years. We also now downstairs have my aunt's china and crystal, which was supposed to go to Molly, which Molly does not want. We have some of my, I think either we have it or somebody else took it, my mom's china and crystal. And here's the problem. You can't resell it because young people don't want all that stuff.
No.
Yeah.
Molly is starting to get the gifts for her showers, and it's no crystal, it's no china, you know. There's all kind of crap. I told you guys yesterday she got a towel warmer, which made Parker insane.
Dude, that is insane. I cannot believe towel warmer. That is why? The softest. What do you mean why? Parker? You don't need a soft. Warm towel.
You don't need it, Parker, but
what? Hold
on
a second.
Wouldn't it be nice to have it? I don't know. I don't know.
No. Hold on.
Go ahead.
I don't think Brian's daughter is worried about someone calling her soft.
No.
She's not an offensive lineman in high school getting yelled at by her O-line coach.
And I would imagine my future son-in-law likes a nice cozy towel. But
of course he does.
To Parker's point, I had the same reaction.
It's very unnecessary.
Because the gift was sent here. Not unnecessary, because my first reaction was, oh, my God, she forgot where she came from. And my wife was like, yeah, have you met her? And so we were joking about her being bougie. And then my wife said, well, we registered for some just fun stuff. And I'm thinking back, I go, what? What fun? You didn't register for fun stuff 34 years ago. I think the most outrageous was a little Cuisinart food processor that we still have and I still use 34 years later.
There you
Shout out Cuisinart.
Wow.
You're bringing the, you are, you're making
Back
a quality
in the day.
Product. Yeah. That stuff lasted. But yes, I mean, so it came and I immediately was like, oh, it's for robes and towels and they could be nice and toasty warm. But I'm like, okay.
Here's what's going to happen. You're going to be over there and you're going to use it once.
Oh, it won't be in a bathroom where I have access to.
You're going to use it one time, and you're going to love it.
Yeah, you are.
I'm sure it's lovely. I have I'm to the point now where I'm very laissez-faire in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants a warm towel, good for you. I'm glad. You registered for it. Somebody saw it. You didn't put a gun to anybody's head to make them buy it. They went, oh, this sounds like a fun gift. This is what I want to give them for the shower. And now they have it. It sits on white ceramic, sits on a nice beechwood base, and it'll, you know, and all their towel. But here's the problem. You can only use a towel once then. I use my towel, and I probably shouldn't leave it this long, but like, you know, a few days, maybe a week, use the towel. Yeah,
that's healthy.
I would agree.
Yeah. That's fine. So what am I going to put days. A damp towel in there and then start steaming? Now I'm making soup out of my gunk that's on the towel. That sounds awful.
That's a pretty sight there, Mr. Noonan.
Well, yeah. Good morning. Enjoy your coffee.
855-752-4842. What's the is it crazy or is it the dumbest item that you put on your wedding registry?
Or maybe just the most luxurious, the one that was, outside the lines. Could be considered crazy, could be considered dumb, could be considered bougie. I'm trying to think what else, because I saw on there, I saw the registry, but I don't get involved in all that.
You don't? Oh, I'm nosy. I love to see what people put on.
I'm looking through a registry right now because I just RSVP'd for a wedding over the weekend.
Ooh, give it to us, Parker.
Yeah.
What do we got?
What do they got? They got anything good?
I mean, it's all kitchen stuff. There is a cozy table lamp. Sustainable mood. Is what this says.
A cozy table lamp?
Yes.
Like for your dinner table?
Like a mood lamp?
No, it's a mood lamp. Yes. Here, I'll get up in here and.
That's not helping us. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like accent lighting.
Yeah, it sets the
kinda
mood.
Kind of like a lava lamp.
Room. Yeah, a little bit like that. Yeah.
Waste of a wedding registry item. Continue.
Well,
yeah, but what if somebody only wants, I don't know how much, what's that run, Parker?
$48.88.
All right, if somebody wants to give it as a shower gift, $49 is not a bad amount
for a
shower.
It's not, but I feel like you're running out of ideas.
Oh, certainly. Well, judging by how many cups are in here, yes.
That's okay. Thank you. That's another thing I want to get to. My advice, if there are any young people...
Or if you know any young people.
At 16 in the morning listening to this show.
Or your children are about to just get engaged.
This could just be for Parker.
Give it to me, Frank.
You're going to feel the need to put on every type of cocktail glass on your wedding registry. Rocks glasses, Collins glasses, red wine glasses, white wine glasses. You do not need all of them.
No.
And if you do put them on your list, you only need a max of four each.
Right.
But they all come in sets of eight. Ugh. So I don't need eight Collins glasses. The Rocks glasses will get to put to
Rocks
use.
Glasses you use. I would say Rocks glasses and a just a generic wine glass.
The
unless
white
you're
wine
a
glasses,
sommelier. What's the difference between a white wine and a red wine glass?
White wine is smaller. Red one's like a deeper bowl.
Why? So you get more of the aroma?
I don't know, dude.
You did wine tasting.
If you want to aerate,
you
get yourself one of those decanters.
You went once in Paris, though.
Yeah,
well,
and
I've been to wine tastings. I don't know. I don't know what the glassware.
And I made this joke
talk
yesterday.
Talk me about beer glasses. I know beer glasses.
Oh, you do know that.
See, there you go. And I made this joke yesterday while driving cars because I was driving a car that was 10 years older than the one I currently drive. And I said, this is like going to wine tasting for the first time where they give you a glass of wine. You're not used to drinking it. And they go, and how do you like this $100 glass of wine? And you go, it's good. And then they go, what about that one? And it's like barefoot. And you go, that one's good too.
Exactly.
I don't know.
I don't know. What do you want?
It's good.
What do you want
it does
me?
The trick. Oh,
yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. I can't remember. There's some glassware on her registry. There were some, I think some dishes. But maybe eight was the top or four. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, she did take one set of, for some reason, well, I know the reason. My mom gave it to us because she had always wanted it. There's a Thanksgiving china. And last year, since Molly hosted, she said, can I have this china? And we're like, yes, please take it.
Take it.
You take it.
It is all yours.
You take it because that means we're coming to your place for Thanksgiving. That'll be lovely. So go ahead. All right, when we come back, you know, data centers. Oh, man, everybody's worried about data centers. It's on every ballot. People are debating it. What if there was an option for a data center that was clean, didn't take up all the land near you, and you didn't have to worry about it? It was somewhere else that wouldn't bother anybody. Parker showed me this story. I think it's a great one. We're going to get to that on the other side, and I want your answer to, would the option of having data centers in the ocean make them more attractive to you? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan, and you are listening, as always, to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome. Glad you are here. 855-75-CIVIC is how you get a hold of us. If you call in, be nice to Parker, because to get to me, you got to get through him. 855-752-4842. Would the option of having data centers in the ocean make them more attractive to you? Because, you know, there are so many things to debate when it comes to data centers, and we hear about it all the time. It seems like it's monopolizing the news. It's either the current administration or data centers. That's what people are talking about, especially here in Wisconsin, where you've got, you know, cities voting on these and public hearings and are there secret deals. We're always hearing about it. And then we hear about mostly how much power they need, how much carbon pollution they create, how much energy, water they're going to use, what they're going to do with all the waste, all of this. Okay. So Parker, who is young and idealistic and cares about the planet and the people on it, sends me this yesterday, and I found it fascinating. So there is a new company that wants to, the company is Panthalassa, and they are out of Vancouver, Washington. Garth Sheldon Coulson is the CEO. He wants to address the problems of data centers, the land, the energy, the carbon footprint, with a new source of energy, wave energy. You know, I know the president doesn't like wind energy. We haven't heard him weigh in on wave energy, which is the ocean. It's basically it. They're going to put these things in the ocean. Now, I'll explain how they're going to do it because I think it is fascinating. And from what I read yesterday, I don't really see a problem with it. But I want to hear from you, too. Listen to some of this and then let me know if this is more attractive to you for data centers. So he said, Garth Sheldon Coulson, the ocean is really unlimited in terms of how much energy is available. It will really be the cheapest energy on the planet. So he compared Panthalassa's test model, the Ocean 2, to a floating hydroelectric dam. He says as it goes up and down with the waves, it causes the water that's in the tube to be forced up to the top. Once it's in the ball, now this is, you have to picture, it's kind of like, I don't know, like an upside, it looks almost like an upside down bowl with a tube coming out of the top of it. The water is forced through a turbine, the turbine spins, and that's what makes the electricity. So using a model of the latest design, the Ocean 3, he explained the most surprising part. There is no anchor and no cables. So it is a self-propelled system that is not tethered to the ocean floor. It's like a little Roomba, except it's enormous. So I don't have a Roomba, but I know what a Roomba is. They just zip around. Now, I can already hear critics going, well, aren't they going to get in the way of shipping lanes and blah, blah, blah? Maybe. But it could be figured out. That doesn't seem like the most pressing question because, quite frankly, the oceans are ginormous. There's the biggest obvious understatement of, I think, the week so far. Ooh, did you hear what Brian said? Hot take. He said the oceans are enormous. That guy, he goes out on a limb. He's not afraid of what people think. He'll say what we're all thinking. Yeah. So just think, there's no cable to bring power back to the shore either. So in essence, these are floating data centers. They generate power from the waves, process AI computing tasks on the spot, and send the answers by satellite. When you deploy many of our systems, he said, they work together basically as a data center. So we think of it as a really good alternative to data centers on land. Now, again, I'm not an engineer. I'm not an environmental scientist. I don't see a difference because the land mass is limited, especially when you go into some of these smaller communities. So if you are able to offshore these, you're not going to lose all the jobs. You will lose some, but these things still have to be manufactured and maintained, and they have to, you know, somebody has to be monitoring the programs and all of that stuff. So there still will be jobs created. It's just not taking up farmland. It's not causing your power costs to skyrocket, which is one of the biggest concerns. So he says Panthalassa has all of the private funding it needs because it offers AI companies a quicker, cleaner way to get power than building data centers on land. Construction of the Ocean 3 is already underway. Sheldon Coulson expects them to be operating offshore by around August of this year. These are the advantages. Clean, no fuel, no land use, no getting in the way of other activities on land, very fast to scale. Now, that sounds pretty good, so it means somebody's going to try to squash this. Because any good revolutionary idea that is going to cut into somebody else's money gets squashed. I hope this does not. I would like to do a little more. I'd like to see a couple in action so they can say, yes, that now we've gone from the models and the testing and the theories to actually having, if by August we start seeing them and they work, what's the drawback? Now, I'm sure ocean activists would say, well, we know what the drawback is. The drawback is that we're, you know, you're taking up valuable ocean space. And I would say, well, yes. Which is more impactful to people on a daily basis? Is it that we have floating data centers in the ocean, or that we take up hundreds of acres of land in your county that then is going to be an eyesore, going to raise everybody's energy rates? We don't know the long-term effects of what a data center in your town will have, whether it's environmental, health, anything else. So why not try something new? That's where you young people come in, Parker. I am counting on the young generation to get these kind of things done. My generation, we're out. You want to put us out to pasture anyway. So you guys are in charge. Get this done. Get things taken care of. All right. Are shorter lines at the airport worth more funding for ICE? That is your question. We will talk about that and so much more when we return on Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. This is the Civic Media Network.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie will be back next Monday. Are shorter lines at the airport worth more funding for ICE? Is it worth more for you to see ICE funded or to go through an airport line quicker? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So this is a twofold story, and I want to remind you, part of the reason we're in this fix is because of Mike Johnson and House Republicans. But I'll get to that and why that's important. But first of all, Mark Wayne Mullen, who is the new Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, warned yesterday that long security lines could reappear at airports starting next month because the agency doesn't have enough money to continue to pay its employees through May. I find that very hard to believe since DHS still shut down. I know people are going to say, Brian, don't you know that? Yes, I do. I also know I know whose fault it is that it's still shut down. Anyway, they've been shut down since mid-February. The resulting lapse in paychecks prompted a lot of TSA agents, as you know, to call in sick, air quotes, to quit and go find other jobs. All of that. So lines we were reporting for a while right before spring break, lines were out the door. And in an effort to kind of curry some favor with the voters who were trying to leave on spring break, the president directed DHS to use funds from the Republicans' big domestic policy package, aka the Big Beautiful Bill. Oh, and take that money and pay TSA officers and other agency staffers. So Mark Wayne Mullen was on Fox and Friends, and he said that the money's going to run out. The agency is drawing on a $10 billion fund created by the bill, which as of April 19th has a little less than $1.4 billion remaining, according to the Office of Management and Budget Data. So there was, oh man, he comes out, he says this, everybody starts to panic. What's going to happen? Well, the Republicans want to get some funding pushed through. We know the Democrats don't want to fund it because the Republicans are trying to tie this to the SAVE Act. And we also know that ICE had already been funded. ICE was all set with the Big Beautiful Bill, so they didn't need money. Democrats said, we will pass a funding bill to get everything open, but we want you to hold back on ICE funding. We don't want that included in any plan, and we want to be able to talk about how we can reform ICE, different oversight, those kind of things. Things that were very simple and very common sense. The Republicans at first said no. Then, last month, you remember, the Democrats, the Republicans in the Senate, bipartisan, they passed a bill that would go to the House that said, all right, we're funding everything. We're going to open it. You'll be able to pay the TSA agents immediately. Everybody's going to get paid. And we're going to hold off on any extra funding for ICE until we can get this settled. It was all set. The Democrats did it before their spring break. They sent it over to the House. Mike Johnson would not even call it to the floor for a vote. He said no, because it doesn't include funding for ICE. We don't want it. Take it back. We're not going to do it. And then they went on vacation for 2 weeks. Well, now we're in the predicament we're in. And this morning at about 3:30, the Senate took the first steps in a new effort to reopen the Department of Homeland Security, voting to adopt a budget plan that would fund ICE and Border Patrol over Democratic objections and sending it to the House. What do you think the chances are this one's going to get a call for a vote? I think pretty high. Because Mike Johnson, who just yesterday, with his eyes darting around like he was scared that somebody was coming after him, like a bobcat was stalking him on a turkey hunt, that was a callback, Parker.
Yeah.
He said, oh no, we're going to win in November. He looks terrified. And I don't believe that funding TSA or funding ICE is going to help him, but that's beside the point. So we know that this is happening. The Senate has passed this. The budget process, now here, the Republicans are now trying to fund the two immigration enforcement agencies through the complicated, time-consuming process called budget reconciliation. This is a maneuver that they also used to pass Donald Trump's package of tax and spending last year with no Democratic votes. It is a very difficult process, but it's a process nonetheless. It only requires a simple majority in the Senate. It bypasses filibuster rules that require Republicans to find 60 votes on most bills when they only hold 53 seats. But it also comes with increased scrutiny from the Senate parliamentarian and a long, open-ended series of amendment votes at the beginning and end of the process. So this is not a done deal that is going, that means they've got another, they said maybe one more paycheck for TSA and Homeland Security, and then they're out of luck again. So the Senate has already voted on a bipartisan basis to reopen the rest of the department, but Republican leaders in the House say they won't take that bill up until the Senate shows progress toward funding ICE and Border Patrol as well. Now, the $70 billion budget resolution, billion with a B, would fund the two agencies for 3 years. Coincidentally, that's through the rest of Trump's term. Now, Republicans in both the Senate and the House have pushed to add other items. Here we go, friends. This was where the open-ended amendment debates come in. They're pushing to add other items, including money for farmers, which, again, farmers being used as pawns, because who's going to vote against money for farmers? If you're an American and you eat, you're gonna want to support farmers. But here's the thing. They also want to include money for the voting bill, and they want to include the SAVE Act, the voting bill, whatever you want to call it, in this reconciliation. That's going to be the time-consuming debate, because while Democrats don't have the majority, they don't need too many defectors to come over. Now, you got to count, Fetterman is probably going to vote with the Republicans because that's what he does now. You don't know what Susan Collins is going to do, and Markowski, the ones who always talk a big game and then do it, go the other way. But this is what the Republicans are saying, because they're also thinking this is their last gasp. If they don't get the SAVE Act bill pushed through with this, they're not going to have it before November. And they know, unlike Mike Johnson, who is confident yet terrified, a lot of these Republicans in the Congress see the writing on the wall and know that it's not going to bode well for them in November. So Democrats are responding. Of course, there will be strongly worded letters. We will see what those are. But they say any funding bill for Homeland Security should place restraints on federal immigration authorities, including better identification for federal officers and more use of judicial warrants. Those are among some of the requests that they have, all very common sense things, in my opinion, to go along with this. Now, in March, and I mentioned this before, but because you're going to hear a lot, and you've heard a lot about how this is a Democratic shutdown. It's all the Democrats' fault. And if you follow the timeline, the people who've prolonged this shutdown are not Democrats. They are, in fact, the Republicans. Because in March, the Senate passed the legislation by voice vote that would separate out ICE and Border Patrol and fund the rest of the department, including the TSA, because that was when the lines were getting so long. Republicans in the House refused to even consider it, saying they wouldn't support any bill that didn't include money for immigration enforcement. And again, I know some of this seems repetitive, but it is always worth repeating. ICE had already been funded in the big, beautiful bill. ICE and Border Patrol had their money. They didn't need money at this point. The rest of the Department of Homeland Security needed the money and needed to be reopened. And the Democrats were willing to do it. The Republicans in the Senate and the Democrats in the Senate worked together. They figured out what adults like to call a compromise. And then Mike Johnson unilaterally decides he's not even going to bring it to the floor. And then they go on recess. So during that recess, Thune and Johnson, they announced that they would pursue a two-track approach. Pass the Senate bill that includes most of the department's funding through regular order and use the party line bill to pass ICE and CBP funding. Weeks later, though, as you know, Johnson has still not said when the House will take up the Senate's legislation that would fund the rest of the department. So now we are in another wait-and-see mode. We've got all these people who work that aren't getting paid, which, think about it. Do you want to work if you're not getting paid? I love my job, and I wouldn't do it for free. I don't think anybody should have to work for free. Working for free is called slavery or an internship. And really, we've outlawed a lot of internships, too, where you work for free. So nobody should have to work for free. And I don't blame any of these TSA agents for calling in sick. I know they are all entitled to back pay once things open. But back pay only helps later. Back pay doesn't help you pay your rent this month. Doesn't help you buy your kids groceries this month. Back pay is fine, but let's not make that the whole thing. Well, they're going to get their money anyway. Yeah, but put yourself in that position. Anyway, I understand them looking for other jobs too. I also understand them being cranky. Because if I do come to work, and I realize every day, man, I'm working for nothing. And I got to put up with all these people who are trying to bring in, you know, that's not a carry-on, sir. That bag is bigger than your kids. That's not a carry-on. I understand them being grumpy, too. But I also want us to direct our ire at the right party and the right side and the right people. And not to believe the gaslighting misinformation that's coming out that blames this all on Democrats. Remember who has the majority in the House, who has the majority in the Senate, who runs the administration. It's all one party, friends. So to blame the other party for any sort of shutdown, you're just blaming a party for not giving in to your demands. When you are not willing to do, and not everybody, the Senate did compromise. But if the House will not compromise, it's all on Mike Johnson. It's all on the Republicans. So we'll see what happens. Again, we don't know what Mike Johnson will do. This just passed, like I said, at about 3:30 this morning. So it's all very new. It's all very evolving. And we'll have to follow along. I would say hopefully they'll get it done. But based on past performance, probably not. All we can count on is Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries sending a strongly worded letter. I like strongly worded letters. No, I don't. I like actual action. Action, not letters, Parker. Remember that as you move on through your career. People want to see action. They don't want empty promises. The American people are sick and tired of empty promises. We've seen it all before. We got to get after them. You got to fight a little bit. Just like now the Republicans are saying, well, we got to fight about this gerrymandering redistricting. Wait a minute. No, guys, you can fight. That's fine. But you started this. Now they're all upset about Virginia. But Virginia voted for it. They didn't just do it. Their legislators did just say, we're going to redistrict. We're going to redraw the maps. No, they actually put it to a vote. And the people of Virginia went, yeah, we got to redo these maps. So will of the people versus will of the parties. I'll go will of the people every day. When we come back, is RFK's leadership of the Department of Health and Human Services making the country's health worse? Well, we hear what he had to say about that and being self-aggrandizing. A lot to get to. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
I may throw in a little fiction, but I'll let you know that it's fiction. Or you'll have to be quick on the uptake to pick it up. Hi, yes, I am Brian Noonan. Jamie will be back with us on Monday. Parker and Frank are here hanging out with me, and you are hanging out with me, which is the most important. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do you feel that under Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s leadership of the Department of Health and Human Services, America is less healthy? The reason I ask is because Kennedy was on Capitol Hill yesterday for two different hearings. He was he went to the Senate Finance Committee in the morning and the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions in the afternoon. One thing about this administration that is different from any other administrations, and you can talk about how, you know, their policies and how they govern and how you're doing, if you're doing better under this administration than you were under other administrations. You can talk about all of that. But one thing that cannot be denied about this administration is a number of the heads of departments, secretaries of this or that, really, really want to be media personalities. Never in the history of my life and my knowing about government, you knew the names of the Secretary of State. You knew the name of the Vice President. You didn't really know too much about the Secretary of Health and Human Services or the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. You didn't know. You know why? Because they didn't make commercials about themselves. They didn't have, they weren't featured like Kristi Noem used to be on all these threatening deportation videos. They didn't have memes about themselves. They weren't jetting off to the Olympics to get drunk with a hockey team. They, you know, they were just behind the scenes. You know what they definitely weren't doing? Stripping down to their jeans and taking a steam with Kid Rock. They weren't doing that. That's not, why? What are you trying to do? Well, the hearings, the reason for the hearings yesterday, they came as the White House has taken tighter control of HHS's activities, with officials discouraging Kennedy and his aides from publicly discussing their efforts to overhaul vaccine policies. One, this is where I start to theorize. One reason is because they sound nuts. And two, because it's becoming very clear to them that other than a minority of the citizenry that is buying into this no vaccine garbage, most people of sound mind are realizing that there's a reason we have vaccines. We are now seeing outbreaks of measles that we have not seen in generations because of, say it with me, vaccines. We heard yesterday that the Defense Department said that now soldiers don't have to get a flu vaccine, despite the fact that the Army developed the flu vaccine and the fact that it has stopped many, many outbreaks. And, you know, most people who get the flu vaccine do pretty well with it because it stops the spread. Or it minimizes the spread. And if you want to say that, you know, Brian, you're a sheep, you just give in. You just do whatever the government tells you. Not really, but I don't want to get smallpox. I don't want to get mumps, measles, rubella, all the things that I got vaccinated for as a child, all the things my daughter's been vaccinated for. I'm guessing Parker has been vaccinated for them. Are you vaccinated, Parker? Sure.
I am, yes. I was really late on getting my flu shot this year, but I still got it.
I still got it too. And I never got it up until about 10, 12 years ago, I never got one. And that was not because I didn't believe in vaccines. I was just lazy and thought, well, if I get the flu, I get the flu. And I was young. I was young and in relatively good health. Then I started working with kids, and kids are disgusting. They are little snot sprinklers. They're oscillating fans of viruses. And so I needed to get the flu shot. Well, all right. let's get to this, because Kennedy was on Capitol Hill yesterday. He was talking to the Senate Finance Committee. Delaware Senator Maggie Hassan asked him about his self-promotion videos that he's released over the last couple months, and RFK had this to say.
You have been doing a lot of your own self-promotion using official government channels and resources. HHS produced a video of you and Kid Rock exercising and drinking milk in a hot tub, I think at his pretend White House. Another official video features a dramatic sequence of you as a shirtless WWE fighter. You also posted a video on government accounts that depicts you as a video game hero. Does the president know about this self-promotion campaign that you're carrying out with official HHS resources?
I didn't know about a number of those videos. We have
they've all come out like in the last 6 weeks, a couple of months.
I just happen to not see them. I have no idea.
So you don't know how your own team is managing official U.S. Resources and promoting you in the process. So the president hasn't authorized you to use HHS resources for these vanity projects.
You know, I was asked the other day by one of the senators about the Kid Rock video, how much it cost the U.S. government, and I asked my team how much it cost, and they said zero.
Interesting. I mean, you were at Kid Rock's home. Did the president authorize you to use official HHS resources for these vanity projects? That's my question. Have you discussed them with the president? Did he authorize the use of them?
I've never discussed it with the president.
Oops. Oh, well. That's all right. Just keep spending the dough. That'll be fine. In other HHS news, real quickly, COVID-19 vaccines roughly halve the chances that a U.S. adult would need to visit the emergency room or be hospitalized. You know that. But what you're not going to hear about that from the Health and Human Services Department, or because the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the current head of the CDC, blocked the publication of those findings in their flagship journal, the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. The authors of the study received an official rejection letter from the journal. Gee, why would we want to discount and not publish something that showed that the vaccines actually worked? I remember, because we don't need to be vaccinated. The rejection's unusual because the study followed the normal methods the agency uses to estimate the effectiveness of vaccines against seasonal respiratory viruses, but you don't need to know that because it goes against the party line. All right, when we come back to start the 7 o'clock hour, it's headlines and stuff you need to know, so stick around. We've got a lot coming up here on Daybreak. Glad you're with us. I'm Brian Noonan. This is The City.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.